Let me pray for us as we seek to open up God's word. Heavenly Father, we do indeed give thanks that you are such an awesome and loving God, that you are in control of all things, and that you love us so much that you gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we give thanks for what that means every day in our lives, that we can know that we can be in relationship with you, and that no matter what the world throws at us, that you are by our side, providing everything that we need. Father, as we open up your word today, I pray that you will give us open hearts and open minds, that the words that I share will be the words that you need for us to hear, and that each person here will hear and receive the message that you have for us today. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Have you ever had one of those days? One of those days where everything seems to go wrong. Or maybe you've had a day where only one thing goes wrong, but it's a real doozy. How do you cope when life doesn't go the way you want? What do you do when life doesn't live up to your expectations and plans? Do you get angry and frustrated? Do you get scared? We like to be in control, don't we? We like to see what's going on and know that we're in the groove and understanding what's happening. You know, I can really relate to this because that's kind of how I am too. You know, I get so used to being involved up the front that I get really frustrated if I'm in the service and I don't have a running sheet and I don't know what's happening next. We like to be in control. We like to know what's happening. And we like to think that we're in control of our own destiny. Not only do we like to be in control, but we also hate change. Most of us are creatures of habit. Most people don't like to change. I mean, how many of you sit in the same seat in church every week? The only thing worse than change is uncertainty. You know, I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. We get scared when we face an uncertain future. You often hear people that are waiting for some news say, "I can't stand the uncertainty. I can't cope with not knowing." Today we're going to explore how God helps us to deal exactly with these issues. In his book called Come Thirsty, Max Lucado tells a story about being invited to go on a nice boat cruise with some friends. They are out having a great time, laying back on the lounges and just chatting and having a bit of a fish. But of course, as happens when you're at sea, the weather turned and suddenly the sky was dark and the waves were big. If you've ever been caught in a storm in a boat, then you'll know how bad storms can be and how scary that can be. So you'll know how these people felt. They start to wonder whether they've got any future at all. What do you do when the storm hits? What do you do when you're in the boat and you're looking at a wave like that? Max Lucado tells that when the storm hit their boat, all eyes and ears were on the captain. He told them what to do and what not to do. And they trusted him and they did as they were told, even if they didn't understand why they were doing it. Why? Because he's the captain and he knows best. He has the big picture in mind and knows how to deal with the situation that life and the storm was thrown at them. The analogy is pretty clear, isn't it? Is Jesus the captain of your life? When you look at storms like this, when the storm hits your life, do you look to the captain? Do you look to Jesus and trust in his direction, even when you don't understand the big picture and what he's trying to achieve? Or do you try and do it your own way? I know that you've had days like that, or days that feel like you're facing a wave like that, when you felt the wind and the waves at your door. I know that some of you may well be feeling that way right now. We live in a world that is full of turmoil and uncertainty. And despite the fact that we live in Australia and don't have to face the kind of pressures that other parts of the world do, we all feel some level of turmoil and uncertainty. We use expressions like safe as houses, and yet we see property values fall or homes destroyed by bushfires. We discover they're not that safe after all. Or maybe yesterday you had a job and today you don't. Or yesterday you were healthy and today you're waiting for the results of a test. People want certainty. They like certainty. We don't like the unknown. It makes us feel like we're not in control. Well, guess what? It should be pretty clear by now to all of us that we're not in control. The question that is being asked of us today is, who is in control? And who do you put your trust in? Will you trust God with your future? God's message to us today begins with Jesus' words, "Let not your hearts be troubled." The disciples have been with Jesus for about 3 years at this point, and they've seen him do some incredible things, and yet there's clearly a whole lot of things that they don't understand. They've experienced the exhilaration of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and I'm sure at that point that must have been a really interesting experience for the disciples, because I know they didn't quite grasp what Jesus was on about. So I suspect at that point with this triumphal entry that they're thinking that Jesus has got this whole thing wrapped up, that he's the God's saviour that's been provided, and just around the corner there's going to be a political or military victory against the Romans. They don't really understand the real plan that God has in play here. And now, shortly after that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the crowds are turning against Jesus. The disciples and Jesus have just shared in the Last Supper, as we talked about last week, and he's told them that he's going to be betrayed and that he will only be with them for a little while longer. And he's told Peter that before the cock crows three times, before the morning comes, he would disown Jesus three times. Now, I can imagine the disciples sitting there in disbelief, thinking there's no way this could happen. There's no way that Jesus could go away. That it's not in their plan. It's not what they want to happen. I'm sure it's not the way the disciples thought that this whole thing would work out. It's not the way they pictured it. And life is starting to look a bit more uncertain for them. And I'm sure that they're scared. So with this background in mind, Jesus says to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." If we really trust in God, then we don't need to know anything else. Trusting in God is the foundation for finding peace in troubled times. Everything else he tells them is built on this instruction, the instruction to trust in him. You know, I think that the biggest impediment to us being able to trust is our inbuilt need to ask stupid questions. Stupid questions that can often be very simple, like how and why. I'm sure that we've all had conversations with kids that ask the million why questions. Why is the sky blue? Why is blue blue? Why do bees buzz? Why is mummy crying? Why? And eventually the answer to the question is just because. Our ability to understand the depths of God is limited. And we just have to accept that it's just because. God's being, his plans, and the depths of his love is beyond our ability to comprehend. If you've ever been up to the top of a skyscraper, then I'm sure you'll understand this concept. Probably most of you have been up to the top of Sydney Tower at some stage. Now, as you know, I'm an accountant and I have absolutely no comprehension of engineering principles at all. So I don't know why Sydney Tower stands up and doesn't fall over. But I trusted enough to go to the top and enjoy the view. I don't understand it, but I trust it. Do you trust God? God is the architect of both this world and our salvation. So do you trust him, even when you don't understand? Jesus understands exactly what the disciples need, and he gives them the assurance that he's taken care of their future. Jesus assures them that in his Father's house there are many rooms, and that he's going to prepare a place for them, that he will come again and take them there. He will make sure they get to the Father's house. It's the Father's house, and he's telling them that he's preparing the way for them to be with God. In verse 4, Jesus assures them that they know the way to where he's going. But we see very clearly that the disciples still haven't got it. After all this time, they don't understand. Jesus is the way. He's the only way to the Father. The Father is revealed in Jesus, and all we need to do is to trust and to follow. If you've got your Bibles open, you can have a look at verse 12. This is a challenging verse in terms of us understanding what God is saying to us here. Verse 12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." These are God's words to you and me, to us who believe in Jesus. So what do we make of this? Clearly he's not referring to the work that he's doing on the cross. None of us could do that. And that work is complete and done for all time. That job can only be done by Jesus. So what do these words mean for us then? These words challenge whoever believes in Jesus to take up the task of continuing the work of sharing the news that Jesus is the only way to the Father. God is calling us to go to the ends of the earth and to share this incredible message. And verse 13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Jesus is saying that he will provide for us whatever is needed for the task to be done. This verse isn't an open slate for us to fulfill all our worldly desires. I'm sure God doesn't really care if we have a Ferrari parked in the driveway or not. And so we need to read this verse in context. When we love God, when we trust in what he's doing, and when we seek his will, then Jesus will provide what we need. And we've seen this in action at St. Tom's. As a church have stepped out in faith, God has provided the resources that we need to do the task he's put before us. He's provided human resources and talents. He's provided financial, all the finances that we need to do what he's calling us to do. And he's provided emotional support. God sustains us beyond our own abilities to do the task that he calls us to do. This verse tells us that we are not orphans in this world. That is, we're not abandoned by our parents. We're not abandoned by God. No, we have something that the world cannot have. We have something the world cannot have because they have rejected Jesus. And so Jesus has asked the Father to give us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so that we can have God with us always. God is with each and every one of us. What greater assurance could we possibly need? When William Frey, a retired bishop from Colorado, was a young man, he volunteered to read to a degree student named John, who was blind. One day he asked John how he lost his sight. A chemical explosion, John said, at the age of 13. How did that make you feel? William asked. I felt like my life was over. I felt helpless. I hated God. For the first 6 months, I did nothing to improve my lot in life. I'd eat my meals alone in my room. Then one day, my father came into my room and said, John, winter's coming and the storm windows need to go up. That's your job. I want them hung by the time I get back this evening, or else. Then he turned, his father turned and walked out of the room and slammed the door. John says, I got so angry. I thought, who does he think I am anyway? I'm blind. I was so angry I decided to do it. I felt my way to the garage, found the windows, got the tools and the ladder, all the time muttering under my breath, I'll show them, I'll fall off the ladder, then they'll have a blind and crippled son. I got the windows up without any incident at all. And later I found out that never at any moment was my father more than 5 feet away from my side. He was looking out for me, keeping me safe. Whatever you go through, wherever you are, whatever task God calls you to undertake, whatever trial you have to endure, whatever delights you enjoy, whatever heartbreaks you suffer, God is always at your side. Sometimes God has to give us a bit of a kick to get us back on track, just like John's father did. But he's always there, and he does it because he loves you and he wants the best for you. Making a decision to trust God doesn't mean that we no longer need to use our brains. God gave us brains for a reason, and he expects us to use them. He expects us to trust that he is in control and take action. Trusting in God doesn't mean that we can just sit back and do nothing, because we trust that God will look after it. In fact, quite the opposite. Trusting in God means that we need to be active, that we actually need to use our brains and go out into the world, confident that God is opening doors for us. I know that some of you will have felt that way as you've door knocked. That's certainly the experience amongst our Bible study group. There have been many there who have felt very scared and afraid of going and knocking on doors. And yet, I think as we've done that, it's been a great experience. And we've heard some stories this morning of people who had great experience doing that. And that's what God expects us to do. He expects us to use our brains and to knock on the doors and take action. Now, all of this leads us to the climax of today's scripture, which is in verse 27. Jesus makes this promise. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We find a similar message in Philippians chapter 4, which says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God does not promise that life is going to be easy, but he does promise that whatever happens, whatever the world throws at you, whatever storms you face, if you put your trust in Jesus, then you will endure. If you trust in his promises, you will be like the lighthouse that stands on a firm foundation. You will withstand the storm when you stand in the light. You will not only withstand, but you will have great peace. Even as the waves are breaking around you, you will have a peace that the world does not understand. You will have God's peace. Because like the footprints in the sand, God carries us when we are weak. Let me sum up. We love to make plans for the future. We love to think that we're in control, and we hate facing the unknown. I know that for most people it's easier to trust God when we can see what he's doing. When we agree with the way that God's going, with the way he's doing things, it's easy to trust. But God calls us to trust him all the time. When the future is uncertain, when we can't see where God's plan is taking us, when we're scared about what God is doing, we need to trust. I don't know what's going to happen at St. Tom's, but I do know that God is in control. I can see God's hand already providing for us. And I believe that he will continue to provide everything we need. That when we learn to trust him and follow his will, he will give us peace. A peace that is so great that the world cannot understand it. A peace so great that the world can't break it down. And we can stand like the lighthouse in the middle of a great storm, but still have God's peace within us. I know that some of you are struggling to deal with the where of where the Gossies are going, and it's one of those situations, I think, that certainly for some of us, it's hard for us to see what God is doing because it's not what we would choose to do. But we don't feel God's call the way that they do. God has placed this call firmly on their hearts. And I'm sure that they will diligently serve the Lord and that they will bring the gospel to the people who need to hear it. It's the talents that God has given them. And God will use them to his glory. All we need to do is to trust God. Let us put our trust in God and move forward in faith with God's peace in our hearts.